Bychom dokoupit. Iskerem Huluch. My English name is Fred Robbins. My residential school number was 85. My parents are Philip Robbins and Marlene Chelsea. My grandparents are Howard Paul from Nistolo and Lottie Robbins on my dad's side. My mom's side is Patrick Chelsea and Anastasia Charlie. Introduction is done. I think one of the things that Francis didn't fail to mention, but I think is a really important piece to building a self-governance and developing the Iskerem governance chapter on how we're moving forward, is Iskerem is, I'm gonna toot Iskerem horn here, but we are way ahead in a lot of areas. Personal healing. In our community, a lot of people know who to talk to. We've dealt with alcohol, we've dealt with drugs, and we've, because of that, we're able to start looking at where we want to be and what kind of future we want to have. And I think it goes a long way when the communities begin to heal. Because when they start to heal, they start to realize that they are, it's in the blood to work together. Residential school and colonization has really divided us of who we are as a people. So in the middle of this group here, we have the Senkukpi, Sokumich, and the past chiefs, hereditary chiefs. Our hereditary chiefs to date are Francis, Wilford, and Irvin. At the elders meeting, you heard Irvin speak yesterday. Today he can't be with us. He's teaching Sequepemkjin over at the school. And this core group are the ones that set the standard of what it is in each clan and how that works in each clan and each family unit. On the outside of that, giving them direction, there's the women and the clan mothers and the grandmothers. And it's these women that meet and give direction to our hereditary chiefs and our hunting chiefs and our gatherers that this family needs help. So, Francis, can you send Fred to go and get them some meat? Or can you send our women to go gather the medicines for them? So it's based around that. And then around the outside of that, we have the family units. And each family has a representative. For the Blues, it's Dave. I believe he's here somewhere. You know, and then for the Robins, it's Wilford. He's also the hereditary chief. But we also have a head man who is, I believe it's Frankie Robbins. So as we go around a circle, each one of these names has a rep. And it's those reps that are looking out for the land. As discussed with the Ajax mine, you brought in family reps to stand up because it was their territory, it was where they came from, it's where their ancestors were. This is the same thing here. If we have any issues on the land, we call in the family reps. And then with the family reps, there's also the hunting chief, the war chief, peace chief, the range chief, the spiritual chief, the fishing chief, and our youth communications. You know, so there's a lot of different areas that this can go. And as we start to expand and move outward, what you're gonna find is each individual in our community has a responsibility. And what that responsibility is what we were talking about with our mission statement and our vision statement. And as we start to move forward, we still have a lot of work. We're still learning because a lot of this was taken away from us by residential schools and by the church and so on and so forth. So as we start to move forward, this circle is going to get just filled with community members. Now, we still have some things that we need to put around the outside of that. When we first started this, it was a hunting camp. You know, as we started to expand, you know, I had the hunting camp started out as a youth hunting camp. I had probably 9 youth come out. And of those 9 youth, 3 of them got their first deer. You know, and it was interesting because the youth that came to the hunting camp, they never hung out together. They were from different family units, family clans. And when they showed up at the hunting camp, we were sitting around a fire. And this one youth was, he came from a traditional background. And I'm not going to mention any names. He came from a traditional background. His parents were sun dancers, and they powwowed, and they sang at the big drum, and they sang with hand drums. So he was kind of stereotyped as this kind of a person, but that wasn't him at all. And we were sitting around the fire, and all of a sudden, you know, all these young bucks are starting to poke him a bit, eh? Poke the bear, you know? Oh, yeah, just teasing the heck out of him. After the first night, he came up to me the next morning, and he told me, "I want to go home." And I looked at him, I told him, "Why you want to go home? We just got here." He's like, "No, these boys are teasing me too much. I don't like being teased." So I told him, "Well, tease him back. You know, give it back to him." Before you know it, here I am sitting around the fire, and these guys are teasing him, and he starts jumping in on it and starts poking the bear the other way. So, you know, all of a sudden, I had these 8 kids sitting around the fire just laughing their heads off. You know, and this is on the land. It's not in a basement or in a bar or anything like that. This is on the land. And to this day, those 8 kids that were still there, they still remember that day. You know, that's a day that they won't forget. And to me, that's how relationships are built. So this system that we have here, yes, there's going to be conflict. But again, sitting down on the land and talking it out, I think this system's going to work. Because it has to. It must. Otherwise, Sir John A. Macdonald's vision statement of First Nations people in Canada is going to come true. We are going to become Canadian, not Tsquatmu. But I do believe that a lot of areas that we need to work on is within our own communities. We need to heal ourselves first. We need to forgive that residential school. We need to forgive our neighbors for stealing our tires when we were drunk, or stealing that bottle of wine, or rolling us. You know, we need to forgive that stuff and start to move forward. The chiefs were task managers and were appointed for specific tasks. And as we begin to express what those tasks are, again, it comes from the family and clan mothers, and they were appointed by the elders and the women, and then they also appointed the hunting chief, the dancing chief, the fishing chief. And as it started to unfold, we started to realize that we're getting bigger. This system's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's not a closed system. This is not something just for Skedamuk. It's something for the Tsquatmukuluk. Each Tsquatmukuluk band, all 32 of them, had this system set up. And I don't want a trash treaty, but I have to say, without the treaty process, a lot of this information, a lot of our history would have been lost. Because as we began to move forward, the very first slide that you saw was the Tsquatmukuluk territory. And that was based on our elders, those that have since passed away. Our elders stood up and said, this is where I hunted, this is where I fished, this is where I gathered. And we started putting all of that information onto a map. And that's where we came up with the Iskidim territory. Yes, there are overlaps. But these overlaps can be dealt with. No, there was a system to deal with it, with the Statlium, with the Tzilkutin, with the Carrier, with the Sequepem Huluch. There was a way to do that, and we need to breathe life back into that again. So as their tasks were specifically, this chair here is broken. Who knows how to fix it? You know, there's a specific task that someone knows how to do that. And that person that knows how to do that was appointed to that task. And that's the same kind of system that we're trying to set up here. So there's different, as you look at the system that we have set up here, there's the war and peace chief, the individuals, the name giving, the fasting. Those are some of the things that was given direction to the peace chief. The range chief is the keeper of their land, protect the land, and all the historical knowledge on that land. So each task, each chief was given a task, and those are some of the tasks that they have to follow through. And that list is going to get bigger. I've seen my list, and it's 4 pages long. And I looked at it and I'm like, wow. You know, I understand why. But at first it was overwhelming. And then as I started to look at what I've done for the community as the hunting chief and for my elders and for my family members, it was then that I started to realize that I was already doing most of it. You know, and that's exactly the same thing that should you go into this direction. You look at your fishing chief, regulates fishing, provides for the community. That's what a lot of fishermen do. You know, one of the protocols that I have as a hunting chief is I had two elders pass away in our community just in this past few months. And any hunter that comes into our territory, I tell them you're hunting for this family. And they go out and they take an animal and they bring the meat to that family. You know, and that it's protocol. Even for me, when I go out hunting, I know who needs the meat in my community because I know who passed away. And that family doesn't have a hunter because according to our culture and our traditions, someone passes away in your family, you can't hunt for that year, you can't gather for that year, and it falls to the clan systems to look after that. So I did allow a couple of people to hunt in our territory. And I told them very clearly, this is who you're hunting for. And I actually had a couple of our band members take them out and guide them. And they went out and he did take down an animal. He quartered it up, deboned it, threw it in his pack sack, and walked out. And then he went and he dropped it off to these families that needed it. You know, that's the importance, I think, of what we're trying to do here is we want to look after everyone that you see here. And what that's going to look like, I think it's going to look great once we get this moving. But like Francis said, we're still learning. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We might rub someone the wrong way, but, you know, it's all in the best interests of the Iskidim and the Sequepem. You know, we're not doing this just for ourselves. We're doing this for this equipment. As Francis stated earlier, we're being surrounded by 15 different bands, or 14 different bands, and we have Treaty on one end, we have the South Chilcotin Stewardship Committee on the other side, you know, and then we have NSTQ and the treaty process. But I really can't say to those leaders that treaty's wrong. I can tell their band members that you realize you sign off on a treaty, this is what you're gonna lose. It's a payment for your title and your rights. And I strongly believe that with all the court cases that we've won in the Supreme Court of Canada, that's why they're pushing treaty so hard. The Delgamuukw led the way to the Chilcotin title case. Now, the Delgamuukw states that we have a right to harvest on any crown land for our homes. So we can go in and we can cut down any tree and we can build a house with it. We can cut down any tree, make firewood and bring it back to our homes. You know, that was the start of the Chilcotin title case. They needed that whole area so that they can start building homes and start managing the lands. That's what we have to do. We have to take a lot of these cases and build a governance structure that's gonna work. And moving forward, yes, we will make mistakes. And yes, we are just learning. You know, I keep looking at some of our leaders that we have as family reps. And I think of the prophecy that my grandmother told me, that the seventh generation is gonna lead us to a better future. And I look at all of our family reps and we're all seventh generation. You know, so we're starting to move forward.
When you started out this process, how were you able to determine that you were the Kupki, the chief?
Yep. Test.
It's on.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, those decisions went to the elders because they knew the family lines. And we also don't have just one hereditary chief, because the Sket was made up of five different communities. And each of those communities, we were able to trace back the line to which family had the lineage. And also, Arthur and some of the elders came up with names on who they thought showed scale sets and different things that they thought would make a war chief, or, you know, they knew, you know, the family lines on who hereditarily was a war chief. So those names were put forward by Arthur Dick, the late Arthur Dick, and it was the elder women that had to decide if that person was suitable for that job. So there was a process that happened, and the elder women were the ones that really had the final say in that. So, does that answer your question? Okay. I think also I would like Alexis Harry to come up and share some of his knowledge. He's really close to one of our elders, Tommy Harry, and he's our oldest elder on the village, and he shares some fascinating things. So, you know, I think Alexis is gifted with knowing the history and, you know, knowing his roots. So I think, you know, I wanted him to share, you know, just some of his role and to maybe give people insight on, you know, the attributes of being a peace chief / war chief. And so I'll just let him say a few things.